It should be a celebration, thankful for what the Lord Jesus has done for us, how he has covered us with his precious blood, how he has made us right in the sight of God forever. Forever.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Kingdom Rock Radio. You are moments away from receiving God's rich word. But first, remember that you can subscribe to our Roku channel as well as our podcast. And don't forget, for more information, you can always contact us at www.kingdomrock.org. And now, here is today's word.
All right. Well, welcome everybody once again to our Sunday morning services here at Kingdom Rock Family Worship Center. Let's go ahead and clap our hands together for the Lord. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Glory to God. And we welcome our online community watching, wherever you are watching or listening, all around the world. We want to just tell you, thank you so much for tuning in today. You will not be disappointed. And I'm thankful for all of you today. You could have been so many other places today, but you chose to be here this morning to be under the sound of God's word. The sound of God's word. And the Lord does take care of his people. He shepherds, he leads his people. Amen. All right, today we're going to continue in the subject in the series. We're not done yet. Entitled The Long Way Home. And this is part number 8. If you've been with us from parts 1 all the way to now, then my God, you are somebody, somebody. If you have not been with us throughout all of them, then go back to the website. We have a whole lot of ways to connect, to watch, or to listen, and make sure that you get caught up. This is a very important message. Today we'll be speaking from the subject of look and live. Look and live. Look and live. All right, we're going to go back to our theme verse for the series, which is, of course, John 3:16. John 3:16. And it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And if it be the will of the Lord, we'll finally get to that verse today. All right, we're going to start. We're not going to go back to verse number 1. We're going to start today in verse number 9, and I'm going to read verse 9 all the way down to verse number 17, because verse 9 starts with Nicodemus's question, and we've been endeavoring to answer that really the entire series. We're going to get a little bit further today. So let me go ahead and read verse 9 through 17, and then, as is our custom, we'll go back and we'll talk about it. Amen. So it says, "Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven." Verse 14, and which is our verse we're really looking at today. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." All right, glory to God. So again, we're going to go back up to verse number 14 and just zoom in on 14 while the Lord has set aside this time. And 14 says again, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Notice, first of all, the Bible says, as Moses, the word "as" means just as, or even as, or just like. So right away we know that Jesus is comparing something. He's comparing the born again process. He's comparing the born again process to something that Nicodemus is familiar with. And Nicodemus is familiar, as with all the children of Israel, we're familiar with what happened with the serpent in the wilderness. And today you'll also be familiar with it as well. Amen. Notice it says, notice the verse says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So we see there's two liftings here, right? The serpent lifted up, and Jesus said, well, I've got to be lifted up that same way, just like that. So we're going to talk about that. I want you to notice as well where this incident is happening, where Moses lifted up the snake, where he lifted up the serpent, and that was in the wilderness, not in the promised land, but in the wilderness. Now, let's talk a little bit about the wilderness and how the children of Israel actually arrived there. Understand something. The children of Israel were in the land of Egypt. They were in the land of Egypt, and God sent Moses into Egypt with the word. Moses was a type of Christ in the Old Testament. Or we can say he typified the Christ in the Old Testament because God sent him with a word to deliver the people, just like the Father sent Jesus with a word to deliver us. Amen? Amen. So Moses is not Christ, but he is like Christ or a type of Christ in the Old Testament. Okay? Egypt represents the world. The world, because Egypt was dominated by, of course, by Pharaoh, who was a type of the devil, right? Type of false god. And so the children of Israel or people were delivered from the world through a word. All right. So the children of Israel heard a word and they came out of Egypt. And the first thing they did as they crossed, or the first major thing they did after they came out of Egypt, they went through the Red Sea. The Red Sea, as the children of Israel were going through the Red Sea, that was a type of baptism. See this, right? So they received the word, they believed the word, obviously, and came out of Egypt, and then they were immediately baptized going through the Red Sea. Now they're in the wilderness, in a barren land. After the wilderness, they're going to be going into the promised land, or the land of promise. And that's the place where they will walk in their divine assignment, and God will teach them to be overcomers. But only those that are faithful, or we can say only the faith-filled, will actually cross over into the promised land. Because before they get through the promised land, they'll have to be baptized again. The children of Israel were baptized again there at the River Jordan. The priest stepped into the river, and the waters parted once again, and the children of Israel went through on dry ground, just like they did at the Red Sea. So, but the only ones that went through the second baptism were the ones who were full of faith, who had heard the word of God and kept the word of God. The rest of the people simply died in the wilderness. All right. The wilderness was a place of testing and trial. It was a place of pruning. Because, listen, God brought the people of Israel out of Egypt, but it took him 40 years to get the Egypt out of the people. The generation that left Egypt, well, they all died in the wilderness. They couldn't let Egypt go. But their children were raised up, and their children were full of faith, and Joshua led the children through the second baptism there into the promised land. Does that make sense?
Amen.
All right, now, so again, the wilderness was a place of testing and trial. The wilderness tested whether the people really wanted God, or they wanted pleasure, or they wanted themselves. The wilderness revealed what God they were serving. And as you will see today, when the children of Israel didn't have water, when they didn't have food, when they didn't have things of necessity, they would begin to long for the flesh pots of Egypt. They would begin to long for Egypt. But they didn't remember that for 400 years, they cried out to God, "Get me out of Egypt! This Pharaoh is beating on my head. Get me out of here." They don't remember that. All they remember are the pleasurable things. They had meat to eat. And they said, now we're just here in this wilderness, and we're eating this manna. Who knows what this is? So they complained. So let's go into it, and we're going to really talk about it and really get into this. This is so exciting. Because I need you to see, Jesus said again, as Moses lifted up the serpent, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So as important as the cross is, Jesus said, you've got to know about what this is. What did Moses do there to deliver the Old Testament saints? And let's find out what that was all about. So for that, let's go to Numbers 21. Numbers 21. And I'm going to go ahead and we'll read as we go down. And we'll stop for a minute and we'll talk about it, because you need to have a very good understanding about this. Amen. All right. Numbers 21, verses 4 through 9. And it reads like this. Then the people of Israel set out from Mount Hor, taking the road to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. So they're going to see the Red Sea again. They're just walking in circles. But you know why they're walking in circles? Because they refuse to hear the voice of the Lord and go over and take the promised land. Remember, they said, these giants are too big for us. We can't do it. Only Joshua and Caleb said, we can do this. Let's go over it at once. But because they didn't hear the voice of God, now they're having to wander around. And so now they're going right back to part of the place where they started, back at the Red Sea again. All right. So let's read again. It says, then the people of Israel set out from Mount Hor, taking the road to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people grew impatient with the long journey. And they began to do what? Speak against God and Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die here in the wilderness? They complain. There is nothing to eat here and nothing to drink. And we hate this horrible manna. They really complained. They talked about God, they talked about Moses, and they said, now remember, the manna represented Christ. Remember, Jesus told the people, he told them, Moses gave you that bread of heaven, that is, he gave you the manna, but I am the true bread. So this manna here represents the word of God. God was feeding the people a diet of his word. He was trying to detox them. That's what the whole wilderness was about, detoxing, getting all of the filth of the world out of his people so that they would learn to obey him. Hallelujah. Getting all the death out so that they could receive life. Are you hearing? So they said, look, God, they talked about God and they talked about Moses, or rather spoke against God and spoke against Moses. And they even said, we hate this horrible bread. We hate what you're doing for us, God. I wonder how the Father reacted to that. Verse number 6. So the Lord sent, say sent. So the Lord sent poisonous snakes among the people, and they were bitten and died. So you see a scene now, as the people were complaining and mealy-mouthing and belly-aching, here come snakes. Now, I know there are a lot of people that love snakes. I'm just not one of them. God bless all the wonderful creatures of the world. Hallelujah. Amen. These were poisonous snakes that once you were bitten, commentators say, once you were bitten, you swole up and you died a painful death. Snakes were among the people. There were snakes in the streets. There were snakes in the houses. There were snakes on the road. Snakes in the marketplace. There were snakes on the plane, James. Well, maybe not planes, but you understand what I'm talking about. There were snakes everywhere. Poisonous snakes. All right? Poisonous snakes. And they were biting people, and people were dying. People were dying. Now, someone said, wait a minute, I thought God was a loving God, benevolent God. Why would he send snakes among the people and cause the people to die? That doesn't sound like the God of the Bible that I know about. Well, let's look at the Hebrew word here for sent, And let's really get into that for a moment, and then we'll finish reading in a moment. The word sent here in the Hebrew is shalak. And the word shalak means, it does mean to send, send away, but it also means to let go. It means to what? Set free, to dismiss. Now, rewind for a moment. Before the people were complaining and talking against God and talking against the pastor, before they complained, snakes were already there, but they were being held back by God. The danger is there. You watch the news and you hear about shootings in the malls and shootings in the schools and shootings in the workplaces and unfortunately shootings in the churches. You see all of this mass shootings and people shooting them and road rage and all that. The danger is there. But why hasn't it happened to you? Because God has been holding it back. God has been holding it back. But when the people of God, his own people, began to strike God with their mouths and began to strike God's authority with their mouths, God let go. In effect, the people were saying, hey, we don't want you. We don't want this bread that you're sending us. We hate it. We don't want your leadership. Oh, you don't? Okay. When you kick God out, the snakes come in. What has happened to the school systems? When they kick God out, the snakes came in. So the Bible says again, it says, let's look again in verse number 6. So God sent, or God allowed, or God let goose. Lord help me. Maybe there was a goose somewhere over there. It's possible. What Bible are you reading? I don't know. So God let loose. He let go of the snake, set free the things that he was holding back. So let's take a moment and take a pray break right there. A praise break. And let's ask the Lord to forgive us for speaking against him, for speaking against the authority that he has set over us. Let's ask him to forgive us for speaking against the diet that he gave us. Lord, we ask you to forgive us for speaking against you, for complaining, for mealy mouthing, for belly aching, for whining. Lord, we ask you to forgive us. Lord, for speaking against you, speaking against the pastors, other church leaders, speaking against those in authority over our lives, speaking against parents. Lord, whoever you set in authority over us, we ask you to forgive us for speaking against them. And Lord, we appreciate the word, the manna that you've given unto us. We appreciate this word today. So Lord, forgive us for speaking against your word or for speaking against the word that you've sent through others to give to us. Lord, we ask you to forgive us now and to cleanse and wash us with the precious blood of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord God, that you reverse this curse and that the snakes go away and that we can look and live. We receive your blessing and your forgiveness now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So verse six says again, it says, so the Lord sent poisonous snakes among the people, and many were bitten and died. Verse 7, then the people came to Moses and cried out, we have sinned. We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take away the snakes. So Moses prayed for the people. Verse 8, then the Lord, now we can also surmise that the Lord also took away the snakes, right? But there is still a problem. People were still sick. and they were still dying. Verse 8 says, then the Lord told Moses, make a replica of a poisonous snake and attach it to a pole. Why to a pole? So it could be lifted up so that everybody could see it. Amen. Are you hearing? He says, make a replica of a poisonous, poisonous snake or and attach it to a pole. He says, all who are bitten will live if they simply do what? If they simply look at it. Verse 9, so Moses made a snake out of bronze and attached it to a pole. Then anyone who was bitten by a snake could look at the bronze snake and be healed. Now the word look there, it means to regard, pay attention to, it means to consider. So you were bitten, let's say you were bitten or you saw someone that was. They were the bite marks, and the person that was swollen, and they were dying, not sick. They were dying. The word of the Lord is, bring them to Moses. And Moses had the pole, and he held it up. He held the pole that had the bronze serpent on it, and he held it up. And then as the people would look to it and consider it, they would be healed. What were they considering as they looked? I'm glad you asked. Think about this. Let's take a journey. Because this snake or this serpent represents a great deal. If we were to go back in Genesis, the third chapter, we would see this whole thing started with a snake. You remember that? As Adam and Eve were in the garden and the devil convinced the serpent, who was a creature that was very beautiful or subtle more than any other creature. And the serpent came and talked to Eve, and basically the power of the snake was in his mouth. Adam and Eve were in effect bitten, just like the children of Israel were here. It started with the snake. The snake represented, even in Genesis, it represented the sin of man, and it also represented judgment, sin and judgment. Going back here to Numbers 21, the snake or the serpent represents sin and judgment. You have sinned, now you'll be judged. You see that? Yeah. But now, so the people saw it, as they saw the snakes coming in, they realized, I've been wrong. I have sinned before God. And they realize that this snake, this bite, is God's judgment against me. Moses said, God told Moses, put it on a pole and hold it up. So that when the people looked at the snake, looked at the serpent on the pole, they would see sin, their sin, I caused this. And they would know this is God's divine judgment against me. But because of God's love, they would also see mercy and grace. Because when they looked to it, they looked at it, physical things were happening. Changes were happening within them, and they were being healed. Amen. Are you hearing? Amen. Now let's go back. Let's go back to the verses for 1 second. The Lord Jesus said, lifted up the serpent. Now, yeah, go back. I apologize. Go back to John, the third chapter, verse 14. It says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, we know about that now, right? He says, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. All right. Now let's go on further. We're going to go to the book of Galatians, Galatians, the third chapter. And let me show you some of the reasoning behind this and what Jesus was doing. Galatians, the third chapter. Y'all stay with me. Amen. Look at verse number 13, and you can make note of this. This is an excellent verse for you to know, even to memorize, and God help us to do that. It says, but Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. Listen to the very next part. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoings, For it is written in the scripture, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Jesus was hung on a pole on a cross, just like that serpent was. Jesus told Nicodemus, remember what happened in the wilderness. He said, I've got to be lifted up too. As Jesus was hung on that cross, people could look and live. When they looked at the cross, we would realize that Jesus was hanging on that cross because of my sin. And that he's on that cross because of God's judgment. But I also see the love of God demonstrated. I see mercy and I see grace. So if we look at the cross, if we consider what Jesus did, just as they were healed in the Old Testament, we can be healed in the New. Not only healed physically, but healed spiritually. It will be in right relationship with God as we consider what Jesus did. Consider what Jesus did. Let me show you another scripture. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Listen to this one. It says, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Amen. He who knew no sin became sin. The wrath of God, everyone that has received Christ Jesus, everyone that has looked to Jesus and has received him as their Lord and Savior, the wrath of God that was poured out on Christ will never pour out on you. All of the wrath that God had, all of the anger that he had for you and I because of our sin, because of you, because of what we had done, all of that was poured out upon Jesus. And now because of that, Jesus has taken the full punishment for us. And because he has taken the full punishment for us, we will never be punished. Because now there remains no more wrath, no more condemnation for us. If you are in the body of Jesus, if you are in the body of Christ, God has no more wrath for you. When he looks at you, he's not angry. He's not mad at you. He's not punishing you. He's not upset with you. Because all of that was upon Jesus. He took the full punishment for you. So that when we receive him, when we look to him, when we consider him, consider what he did for us, we're being changed on the inside. We're being changed on the inside. We're being changed. Jesus never sinned, but he became sin. He became the sin offering for us so that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. Let's look at another one. Let's look at 1 John 4. I want to make sure you get this. 1 John 4, verses 9 and 10. And it says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world. Does that sound familiar? Yes. God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Verse 10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The word propitiation means pleasing sacrifice, well-appeasing sacrifice. It is as if you had a great debt, and the creditors told you, in order for us to be made whole of this debt, you've got to pay $20,000 or what have you. God, in effect, paid the bill for you, but he paid $50 trillion. Yes, yes. Christ is an overpayment.
Thank you, Jesus.
You understanding?
Yes.
He is a sacrifice that is well-pleasing to God. This is why when you stand in the presence of God, you stand before him and you can cry out to him, Abba, Father. He receives you as son. He receives you as his daughter. He receives you as his child, not because you've been good, but because he remembers what Christ did for you. All the Father has to do to remember how much he loves you is to look to the Son, who still has the nail prints in his hands because of you. Jesus, you understand, he could have had a completely different body and all that. But he said, told Philip, you know, hey, put your fingers in my side there. Put your fingers in my side. Not Philip, but he told Simon, I think Simon or Thomas. Yeah, thank you, Lord. He told Thomas, put your fingers in my side. Put them in my hand. You see me? He maintained the stripes, the wounds. He maintained the prints of his sacrifice for you. It's forever in his body, reminding him forever how much he loves you. And when you see him, you'll see those same nail prints. You'll see those same things reminding him how much he loves you. And you think if you slip out and sin one minute, he's gonna turn his back on you? Don't you realize how much he has invested in you? Are you understanding? So when you sing that song, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so. You don't know how really true that actually is. So he said, if you just look to him, just look to his finished work. Consider what he has done. Life changes. Life changes. And look at what the Lord said here also in John the 12th chapter. John the 12th chapter, verse 31 through 33. The Bible says here, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Look at verse 32. 32 says, and I, if I be what? If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. He said, if you lift me up, just like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, if you lift me up, if you raise me up on that cross, and if people realize what I did for them, if they would consider that I'm on this cross for their sins. I'm on this cross receiving the wrath of God for them, receiving the punishment of God for them. I am their substitute. Jesus hung on that cross so that we wouldn't hang on that cross. Jesus was forsaken so that we would not be forsaken. The wrath of God, the punishment that you and I deserve, was poured out upon the body of Jesus. He was there because of our sin and judgment. And as we look to him, we also see an example of God's mercy, grace, and his love. How far the Father will go to bring you back into perfect favor and alignment with himself. Hallelujah. And now as we look to Jesus, we will live. We will live. Look and live. So if Jesus is preached, if he is preached as Savior, if the gospel is preached and men begin to see that their sin is in the body of Jesus, that an innocent man died for the guilty so that the guilty could become innocent. An innocent man gave his life. God sent his only begotten Son to be lifted up upon a pole so that we could see and live. You say, well, I wasn't back there during Bible times. I couldn't see Jesus lifted up like the children of Israel saw the pole lifted up. I couldn't see it. I couldn't see it. But remember, the word see there means to consider. Consider what Jesus did for you. Consider it. Consider that he is now Savior and Lord. Consider it. Are you hearing? Yes. Oh my God, this is so good. This is so good. Now let's go down to verse number, we'll wake up to 14 and 15, then we're going to be done for today. Verse 14 says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him, whosoever believes in him, the word believe there means to be persuaded of. Be persuaded of. Whosoever believes, to firmly root and put your trust in him. Notice it does not say whosoever comes to church, or whosoever reads his Bible, or whosoever fasts, or whosoever is good to people, whosoever no longer sins. He says, whosoever believes in him should not perish. The word perish there means to be destroyed. Whosoever believes in him would not be destroyed, or would not be judged, would not fall under the condemnation of God. Now, again, let me make this point clear. All of those who are in the body of Jesus, all those who are in the body of Christ, will never be judged. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You will never be judged because Jesus took the judgment for you. Now, if you are not in the body of Jesus, if you are not in the body of Christ, if you have not looked to him and have received him as Savior, if you have not considered Christ, if you have not welcomed him in your life as Savior and as Lord, then the wrath of God still abides upon you. It's still there. And see, this is why I shouldn't have to ask people, praise the Lord, praise God, let's clap your hand, let's do something, let's rejoice, let's shout for glory. Every Sunday should be a celebration, Monday through Saturday, a celebration of what Jesus has done for you, how he has rescued you out of the power of darkness and brought you into the kingdom of his marvelous light. It should be a celebration. Thankful for what the Lord Jesus has done for us, how he has covered us with his precious blood, how he has made us right in the sight of God forever. Forever. Forever right with the Father because of the finished works of the Son. When we look away from him, look away from how beautiful he is, we'll find it hard. When you look away from Jesus, you're gonna find his worry and stress and filth and condemnation. But I tell you, look to him. Look to him and live. Jesus said in verse number 15 that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Let's go to verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him, not whosoever goes to church. Going to church is a good thing. That's how you hear the word of God proclaimed. That's how God's authority begins to speak over your life. God still has there is still such a thing as called pastors, called and ordained and anointed pastors and apostles and prophets and teachers and evangelists. God still has a people. God still has anointed mothers and anointed fathers. He still has anointed bosses and co-workers. God has people everywhere, and he has people that can speak over your life. Church is a good thing. It's a good thing because Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But church is not a substitute for believing in Christ. The work must be first. We must believe in him. Just because someone has, you say you believe, I've heard the word and now I've been baptized, if you've never made Jesus Christ Lord, then all of that makes no difference. You must see him lifted up. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. The word draw there means to gently pull. Gently pull. He will gently pull. So I will tell you this week, lift Jesus higher in your life. Exalt what he has done for you. Consider what Jesus has done for you. When that old devil comes in with this worry and that care and that stress, and he tries to bring frustration in your life, and he's trying to just take away your joy, think on what Jesus has done. Think on what Jesus has done. When those snakes come in because we have done something again, repent and look to him and live. Look to him and live. Have a fresh view of the cross, a fresh view of what the Lord did for you, a fresh view of Resurrection Day when he rose from the grave. Fresh view. If you look, you will live. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for your people. Lord, I pray today that Jesus has been lifted up as Lord and Savior, that he is the answer for all of our problems. He is the answer for all of our cares and all of our woes. And Father, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice at this moment, whether here in this building or online or as people are watching and people are listening. Father, I pray that even at this moment that you would draw them into your presence, that they would receive you as their Lord, receive you as their Savior, and they would forsake all for you. All for you. And I thank you, Father, that as we give our whole life to you, our lives will finally then be properly set in order. I pray over your people. I pray the blessings of God upon them, the blessings of God upon their families, the blessings of the Lord. Even right now, under this anointing, I pray that the curse be completely reversed and that every single captive would be set free. Let the anointing of the Spirit break every yoke, break every shackle and chain, that your people would be finally set free. May we all look to Jesus and live. We love you this morning. Let all those that agree say amen.
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 We pray that you have been richly blessed by today's message. Remember, if you would like to hear today's message in its entirety or hear the entire series, just go to our website at www.kingdomrock.org. That's kingdomrock.org. You can also subscribe to our podcast and get it on the go. And if you have a Roku device, make sure you search for Kingdom Rock TV. In there, you will find this program and so much more. We would also love to see you in a live service. Just go to our website to get the details at www.kingdomrock.org. Until next time, remember that Jesus loves you, and so do we. Choose him as your Lord today. Only he can make a way.